بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the next chapter in this book, a short biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his 10 companions, authored by Al-Imam Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullah. And it is a chapter of his names, the different names of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the author said that Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Inni ana Muhammadun. Verily, I am Muhammad. Wa ana Ahmad. And I am Ahmad. Wa ana al-Mahi. And I am al-Mahi. الذي يمحو الله به الكفر الذي يمحو الله بالكفر The one by whom Allah wipes away disbelief. وأنا الحاشر الذي حشر الناس And I am الحاشر who will resurrect the people. وأنا العاقب And I am العاقب الذي ليس بعدي نبي The one after whom there is no other prophet. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And this hadith, with these five names, Muhammad, Ahmad, Al-Mahi, Al-Hashir, and Al-Aqib, with this wording, is in Sahih Muslim. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned five of his blessed names. Muhammad, Ahmad, Al-Mahi, Al-Hashir, and Al-Aqib. So the first of the names which he mentioned in this hadith is Muhammad. And the meaning of Muhammad, a ذو خصال حميدة كثيرة, the one who possesses many praiseworthy traits and characteristics. This is the meaning of Muhammad. So the word Muhammad, or the name Muhammad, it comes from the word hamd, and hamd is praise. So Muhammad, i.e. the one who has many praiseworthy qualities and characteristics. And this name Muhammad, it is found in the Quran a number of times. Allah referred to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as being Muhammad in the Quran. He said, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ That Muhammad was not merely one of the men's father. Rather, he was the messenger of Allah. And Allah said, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ Then Muhammad was not except a messenger before whom many other messengers passed away. And Allah said in the Quran, مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So this name Muhammad, it is mentioned in the Quran in a number of places. And this name Muhammad, it was unique to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning, although the word is an Arabic word, however, nobody was named with the word Muhammad. This was something which was unique. Allah kept it unique for the Prophet. Except a few years before the Prophet came, people were waiting for the coming of a prophet because the Yahud, it had been prophesied in their scriptures that a prophet is coming and his name will be Muhammad or Ahmad. And the Nasara, the Christians, they also knew of the coming of a prophet. And people were awaiting for this prophet to come. And therefore, in a few years before the coming of the prophet, people started naming their children Muhammad. So it's mentioned that there were a small amount of people who started naming their children Muhammad, hoping that maybe this prophet who is going to come,
whose name is going to be Ahmed or something similar, maybe one of our children. So this is the first name, and this is what he is known by, Muhammad. And then he said, "Wa inni ana Ahmed," and also I am Ahmed. So one of the names of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Ahmed, and he was known by this name Ahmed in the scriptures of the Yahud and the Nasara, the Torah and the Injil, which was given to Musa and Isa alayhim salam. He was known as being Ahmed with this name. And this is why when Allah mentions the saying of Isa, that a prophet is going to come after me, he mentioned the name Ahmed. Like Allah said, Isa said regarding himself, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. And I give the glad tidings of a messenger who will come after me, and his name is Ahmed. So this is the second name. So your prophet, in the scripture of Islam, he's known by Muhammad. And in the scripture of the Jews and the Christians, he is known by Ahmed. And also he is Al-Mahi. And the word Al-Mahi comes from the verb which means to wipe something away. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned why he was named Al-Mahi. He said, "I am Al-Mahi because Allah will wipe kufr away through me. And Allah will wipe shirk away through me." And this is what happened. That when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to the Arabian Peninsula, at that time there was no tawheed. There was only shirk and kufr. And then when the Prophet came, this kufr and this shirk, it was wiped away from the Arabian Peninsula. And there was only Islam and tawheed. And also he is Al-Hashir. He said, "Wa inni an Al-Hashir." And verily, I am Al-Hashir. And the word Al-Hashir comes from Al-Hashr. And Al-Hashr is the resurrection, which will take place on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. So one of the names of Yawm Al-Qiyamah is Yawm Al-Hashr. And Al-Hashr meaning resurrection, when the people will be resurrected again. And the reason why he is called Al-Hashir is because he will be the first who is resurrected. And then because of his resurrection, everybody else will be resurrected. So when he said that I am called Al-Hashir, and then he said, "Alladhi hashara an-nas," the one who resurrected the people, meaning I will be the first who is resurrected. Then after my resurrection, the others will be resurrected. And this is on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. On Yawm Al-Qiyamah, the first trumpet will be blown, and everything and everybody who is living will die. And then a second trumpet will be blown, and everybody will be resurrected. And the first who will be resurrected is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is found in one of the hadith. He said, "I am the first whose grave will split aside. I am the first who will rise from his grave." And also, he is the first for whom the doors of Jannah will be opened. And he will go to the angel who is guarding Jannah, requesting for the door of Jannah to be opened, and the angel will say, "Bika umirtu," that I was commanded to wait for you. "Allah aftah li ahadin qablak," that I should not open the gates of Jannah for anybody else besides you. And this is one of the great virtues of this ummah, that this ummah is this prophet is the last prophet to come, but he will be the first one to enter into Jannah. And also the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last ummah to come, and yet it will be the first ummah to enter into Jannah. And the first people from this ummah who will enter into Jannah will be fuqara al-muhajirin, the poor amongst the muhajirin, and the poor amongst the ansar, and the companions, and then the poor people amongst the rest of the ummah. And then the rich people amongst the rest of the ummah. So the rich people will be delayed entering into Jannah after the poor people. Because the poor people, they faced some difficulty and some struggle in this world, and they were patient and they had iman in Allah, then Allah will reward them by entering them first into Jannah. And then the Prophet said, وَأَنَا الْعَاقِبُ. And I am also Al-Aqib. One of the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Al-Aqib. And this is from the word Al-Aqib. And Al-Aqib means at the end. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came at the end of the prophets. He was last in the line of the prophets. فَهُوَ آخِرُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَاقِبُهُمْ. So he was the last of the prophets. أي عاقب الأنبياء. And also this has been affirmed in the Quran. Allah called the Prophet خاتم النبيين, the seal of the prophets. Allah said, ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. That verily Muhammad is not merely a father of one of your men, rather he is the messenger of Allah and he is خاتم النبيين. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَنَا خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. I am the seal of the prophets. There is no other prophet after me. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told of liars who will come. كَذَّابٌ ثَلَاثٌ. 30 people who will claim prophethood. And there may be more than 30, but there will be famous, 30 famous people who will falsely claim prophethood. And this happened after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, and it has taken place throughout history, even recently. So the first who claimed prophethood, his name was Musaylamah al-Kadhab. He's known as al-Kadhab. And then there was another one called Isa al-Ansi in Yemen. He came also claiming prophethood. And many of them came until the last one came recently in Lahore, and Allah, he humiliated all of them. So these are the five names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned in this hadith. Does this mean that the Prophet only has five names? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith, he only mentioned five names. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, in the explanation of this hadith, he said that these five names are names which were unique and exclusive to him. However, there may be other names of the Prophet. And then the author, he mentions a second narration. He said, the narration of Abu Musa Abdullah ibn Qais, who said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he named himself with some names that we memorized. He said, Ana Muhammad, wa ana Ahmad, wa ana al-Muqaffi, wa Nabiyyu Tawbah, wa Nabiyyu Rahmah. He said, I am Muhammad and I am Ahmad, and I am Al-Muqaffi, and I am Nabi Tawbah, and I am Nabi Rahmah. So these are three further names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Al-Muqaffi has the same meaning as Al-Aqib. Al-Muqaffi has the same meaning as Al-Aqib, meaning the last. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was the last of the prophets. And also he called himself Nabi Tawbah, the Prophet of At-Tawbah. And At-Tawbah is repentance. Because with the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the opening for the door of At-Tawbah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Islamu yajubu ma qablahu. That Islam, it wipes away that which came before. Meaning, a person did many sins, a person did kufr, a person did shirk, a person worshipped besides Allah, and then he accepted Islam. This Islam which the Prophet came with, it is Tawbah. And it wipes away all those sins that a person did in the state of Al-Kufr. So he is Nabiyyu Tawbah. And also he is Nabiyyu Rahmah, the Prophet of Mercy. And this is one of the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabiyyu Rahmah, the Prophet of Mercy. Because Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you except as a form of mercy for the people. And then he mentioned another name. He said, وَأَنَا نَبِيُّ الْمَلْحَمَةِ. And I'm also نَبِيُّ الْمَلْحَمَةِ. And the meaning of الْمَلْحَمَةِ is the fight and the struggle. So he is نَبِيُّ الْمَلْحَمَةِ. He is the prophet of the fight and the struggle. Meaning, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, this symbolized the struggle between Islam and kufr, and between truth and falsehood. and between Tawheed and Ash-Shirk. And that also, battles would take place because of this struggle, because of the enemies of Islam. And then the author mentioned another narration, the narration of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ana Ahmad, I am Ahmad, wa ana Muhammad, and I am Muhammad, wa ana al-Hashir, and I am al-Hashir, wa ana al-Mahi, and I am al-Mahi, alladhi yamhu Allahu bi al-Kufr, the one by whom Allah will wipe away al-Kufr. So al-Mahi, from the verb yamhu, and yamhu means wipe away. And then he said, فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ لَوَاءُ الْحَمْدِ مَعِي, that when the day of resurrection takes place, the banner of praise of hamd will be with me. On يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, when the prophets and the messengers are resurrected, some of the narrations mention that each messenger and each prophet will have with him a banner or a flag. And behind that banner will be his ummah, his believers. And the banner, which is the banner or the flag of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is lawa'ul hamd, the banner of alhamd. Because those who used to praise Allah through their salawat and through their worship, they will be behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So every prophet and every messenger will have their banner or their flag on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And for the Prophet is Lawa'ul Hamd, the banner of Alhamd. He said, Wa kuntu imam al-mursaleen, and I was the imam of all the messengers. Wa sahibu shafa'atihim, and I am the one who possesses their intercession. So also, these are two qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he is Imamul Mursaleen and he is Sahibul Shafa'ah. He is the Imam or the leader of the messengers. We already mentioned that one of the descriptions of the Prophet is Sayyidu Waladi Adam, Ashraful Anbiya wal Mursaleen, that he is the chief of the children of Adam. And he is the most sharif, the most noble in terms of lineage from all the prophets and the messengers. Because his fathers and his grandfathers and his great-grandfathers, his forefathers, they were prophets and messengers like Ibrahim, like Ismail, like those who came before and those who came after. And also he is Imamul Mursaleen, he is the Imam of the messengers. Because in the story of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, when he was taken to Bayt al-Maqdas, and then when he was taken up to the heavens, he led all the other prophets in as-salah. So he was their imam, and they followed him and prayed behind him. So he is Imam al-Mursaleen. And also he is Sahibu Shafa'a. He is the one who possesses the Shafa'a, and he possesses their Shafa'a. The meaning of Shafa'a is intercession. And intercession will occur on Yawm al-Qiyamah, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will plead with his Lord on behalf of his ummah. So we affirm the shafa'ah of the Prophet on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And not only the Prophet, the righteous will make shafa'ah, the scholars will make shafa'ah, and the angels will also intercede. And the children whose fathers gave them a good tarbiyah will intercede for their parents. So the children whose parents gave them good tarbiyah, their children will seek intercession for their parents. And the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will occur when everybody is standing in front of Allah in al-mahshar. And al-mahshar is the land upon which everybody will be gathered and resurrected. So from the first Adam alayhi salam to the last person on Yawm al-Qiyamah, every single person will be resurrected in front of Allah. And the sun will be brought close that day. And each person will be struggling and drowning in their sweat according to the amount of sins. And one day will be like 50,000 years. And then on that day, people will become desperate. And the Quran mentions the state of the people. that they will be as if they are sukara, wa ma hum bisukara. They will be as if they are intoxicated, but they are not intoxicated. And that day, as the Quran mentions, yafirul mar'u min akhi, each man will flee from his own brother, wa sahibatihi wa bani, and each man will flee away from his wife and his children, wa ummihi wa abi, and each person will flee away from his mother and his father. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned on that day how, or rather Allah mentions it in the Quran, how the woman who is breastfeeding her child, on Yawm al-Qiyamah it will be so heavy that she will forget about her own child. And the woman who died while she was pregnant, when she's resurrected, her child will be aborted because of the weight of that day. Everybody will be only worrying about their own affair. And then the people will become desperate. And so the people will start approaching the prophets and the messengers. So the first person they will go to intercede with Allah, that they will say to the prophets, O prophets, ask Allah on our behalf to move us away from this hashr, to now go on to the next stage, because it's such a difficult time. So the first person they will approach is Adam alayhi salam. And they will say, Ya Adam, O Adam, Anta Abul Bashar. O Adam, you are the father of all humanity. Wa Anta Awwalun Nabi. And you are the first prophet. Fashaffi' Fina. So seek intercession with Allah on our behalf, that Allah finishes this stage of Al Hashar and we move on. And Adam will say, Lastu Laha. That this shafa'i doesn't belong to me. I don't have the ability or the right to make this shafa'a. And then the people will move from Adam and they will go to Nuh. And they will say to Nuh, O Nuh, Anta awwal rasul. O Nuh, you are the first messenger. Fashaffi' lana. So seek intercession with your Lord on our behalf. And Nuh will say, Lastu laha. That I am not the one who possesses the right to this shafa'ah. And then they will go to Ibrahim alayhi salam, the people. And then they will say to Ibrahim, Anta Abul Anbiya, that you are the father of the prophets, and you are Khalilur Rahman, and you are. Fashaffi' fina. So seek intercession with your Lord on our behalf. And Ibrahim alayhi salam will say, Lastu laha, that I am not the one who possesses this shafa'ah. And then they will go to the next. And the next, and they will go to Musa, and they will go to Isa, and each prophet will say that I am not the one who possesses this shafa'ah. Go to the next and go to the next. Until they come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when they come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will say, ana laha, that this is my right. I am the one who possesses this shafa'ah. And then he will seek intercession for the people, on behalf of the people, with his Lord Jalla Sha'nuhu. And the hadith mentions that before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam seeks his shafa'a, he will fall down into sujood. And when he falls down into sujood in front of Allah, he will praise Allah and he will exalt Allah and glorify him. And then after a long time, Allah will say to the Prophet, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'sak. O Muhammad, raise your head. وَسَلْ تُعْطَى And ask and you will be given. وَشْفَعْ تُشَفَّعْ And seek your intercession. Your intercession will be accepted. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will seek intercession on behalf of humanity, on behalf of the ummah. So this is the meaning of the Prophet being صاحب الشفاعة, that he is the one who possesses the shafa'ah. And this is al-maqam al-mahmood. When we ask Allah for the Prophet to be given al-maqam al-mahmood, the praiseworthy station, i.e. the station in which he will seek intercession on our behalf. And then the author said that also in his book, Allah has named the Prophet with other names like Bashir and Nadir and Ra'uf and Rahim and Rahmatan lil Alameen. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was Bashir. And the meaning of Al-Bashir, Alladhi yubashirun nas, the one who gave the glad tidings and the good news to the people. meaning those who do goodness and they die upon at-tawheed, the Prophet came to give them the glad tidings of Jannah. May Allah make us from those people. And also he is an-nadhir. And the meaning of an-nadhir, the one who gave the warning to the people, I those who disobey Allah and they die upon shirk and kufr, na'udhu billah, the Prophet came to give them the warning of the fire. And this Allah mentioned in the Quran. Allah called him, he said, Inna arsalnaka bilhaqi bashiran wa nadhira. Verily, we have sent you, O Muhammad, with the truth, bashiran wa nadhira. Bashir, I giving glad tidings, and nadhir, I giving the warnings. And also the author said, Ra'uf and Rahim. He said that Ra'uf and Rahim are names which Allah has given His Prophet in the book. Because Allah said in the Quran, in Surah Tawbah, bil mu'minina ra'ufun rahim. That he, Muhammad, is with the believers, ra'uf and rahim. And the meaning of ra'uf is compassionate, and the meaning of rahim is merciful. And also, rahmatan lil alameen. Like Allah said, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alameen. And verily, we did not send you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except rahmatan lil alameen, as a form of mercy for the people. And there are many other names which Allah gave His Prophet in the Quran. So Allah called him Ash-Shahid, the one who is a witness over the people. And Al-Mubashir, which is the same as Bashir. And also, like you said, An-Nadhir. And Ad-Da'i Al-Allah, the one who called to Allah. And As-Sirajul Munir, the bright shining lamp. And Allah called him Al-Mudhakkir. Innama anta Al-Mudhakkir. You are only a reminder. And Allah called him Rahmah. And Allah called him Ni'mah. And Allah called him Al-Hadi, the one who guides. And Al-Shaheed, the one who bears witness. And Al-Ameen, the trustworthy. And Allah called him Al-Muzammil. Ya ayyuhal Muzammil. O one who is wrapped up in garments. And Allah called him Al-Mudathir. So, these names also Allah used in the Quran to refer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some of the ulama mentioned many other names. Some of them enumerated the names up to 64 names. And some of them 99 names. And some of them 200 names. However, the reality is that these names which we have mentioned, they aren't names like Muhammad and Ahmad and Al-Hashir. Rather, they are descriptions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Al-Bashir isn't his name, but one of his jobs and his descriptions was that he gave glad tidings to the people. And therefore he was described as being Al-Bashir and Al-Nadhir and Al-Shaheed and Al-Rahmah and these other descriptions which he was given. And then there are some from the people who said that in the Quran, the letters like Yasin and Taha, these are names of the Prophet. And this is incorrect. So Yasin, Taha, Alif Lam Mim, Ha Mim, all of these are hurufun muqatta'a. They're individual letters from the Quran. And they are not names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these were some of the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then in the next chapter, he said, Faslun fi nash'atihi bi Makkah. The chapter of the upbringing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Makkah. Wa khurujuhu ma'a ammihi Abi Talib ila Sham. And the trips to Syria with his uncle Abu Talib. Wa zawajuhu bi Khatija. And his marriage to Khatija radiyallahu anha. So in this short chapter, the author is going to summarize these matters. So he said, وَنَشْأَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَتِيمًا. Now the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he grew up in Mecca as a yatim, as an orphan. بِكَفَالَةِ جَدِّهِ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Under the care of his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. وَبَعْدَهُ عَمُّهُ أَبُو طَالِبِ. And then after him, his uncle Abu Talib, the son of Abdul Muttalib. And as we discussed in the previous lesson, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his father Abdullah, he died whilst the Prophet was in the womb of his mother. or he was a few months old. And then his mother died, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 6 years old. And some of the ulama said he was 4 years old. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he grew up and he was an orphan on both accounts, by way of his father and by way of his mother. Even though in Islam, the definition of a yatim is the one who is under the age of puberty and his father has passed away. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was an orphan on both sides. When he was with his mother without a father, he was taken care of by his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib, he was from the Mushrikun of Quraysh. However, he was from the chieftains of Quraysh. So he had a great place and a great status amongst the Quraysh. And he loved him dearly. And he is the one who chose this name Muhammad for the Prophet. And then after Abdul Muttalib passed away, then the son of Abdul Muttalib, who was the uncle of the Prophet, i.e. the brother of his father, Abdullah, whose name was Abu Talib, then he took him under his care. And the author said that the Prophet remained under the care of his uncle Abu Talib and the protection of his uncle Abu Talib, and he married Khadija and he even had children. And when Abu Talib passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was 50 years old. So the Prophet lived 10 years as a prophet, but under the protection of Abu Talib. Because Abu Talib, although he was a mushrik from the Quraysh, but also at the same time, he had a status amongst the Quraysh. And as long as he vowed to protect Muhammad and the companions, then nobody from the Quraysh would dare harm the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is why Abu Talib took him under his wings, because he was his nephew and also he cared about him. And Abu Talib, although he supported and helped the Prophet a lot and protected him, but he also died upon disbelief. And many amongst the people of disguise and people of ignorance, from amongst the Rawafid and others, they believe that Abu Talib, he died as a believer. And they actually call him Mu'minul Quraysh, that he is the believer of the Quraysh. And they mention fabricated narrations affirming that he is a believer. So they say in one of the fabricated narrations, أَنَّ نُورَهُ يُطْغَى فِي يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى كُلِّ نُورٍ, that the light of Abu Talib on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will extinguish everybody else's light, except the light of the Prophet and the light of Fatima and the light of the Imams. And also the narration, مَنْ أَبْغَضَ أَبَا طَالِبٍ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ, fabricated. Whoever hates Abu Talib is a disbeliever. وَمَنْ ذَكَرَهُ بِمَكْرُوهٍ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ, and also fabricated. Whoever mentions bad about Abu Talib, he is a kafir. And all of these are fabricated. And that which is correct, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, is that Abu Talib, despite his support for the Prophet, but he died upon Al-Kufr. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And regarding him, Allah revealed to the Prophet, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَرْتَ, that, O Muhammad, you do not guide whoever you want. Referring to Abu Talib. Because the Prophet, he wanted guidance for his uncle. But Allah decided with his wisdom that he would die upon Al-Kufr. And regarding Abu Talib, Allah revealed, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى, that it isn't correct for the Prophet and those people who have iman that they should seek forgiveness for the mushrikeen even if they are close to them. This ayah was revealed regarding Abu Talib. And there is a story behind these two ayat. And this is that Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam al-Muslim, they narrate that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when his uncle Abu Talib was old and he was on his final illness on his deathbed, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to him and he said to him, Ya Am, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, O my uncle, say La ilaha illallah, kalimatun, أُحَاجُ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And this word, I لا إله إلا الله, if you say it, I will plead your case in front of Allah for you. And with Abu Talib were two of his friends, Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, these two individuals. And whenever the Prophet would say to his uncle Abu Talib, say La ilaha illallah, both of them would say, Ya Abu Talib, O Abu Talib, Atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib, are you now going to turn away from the religion of your father Abdul Muttalib? Meaning all this time you've been worshipping idols and you've been on the religion of your father Abdul Muttalib, and now death is coming to you and you're going to turn away. So then Abu Talib refused to say La ilaha illallah. And then the Prophet would come to him again, Ya am qul la ilaha illallah. Oh my uncle, say La ilaha illallah. And they would say, Atarghabu an millati Abdul Muttalib, are you going to turn away from the religion of your father Abdul Muttalib? And again and again. And then the narrator of the hadith mentions, فَكَانَ آخِرُ مَا قَالَ. And then the last thing which Abu Talib said, هُوَ عَلَى مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ, that he remains upon the way of Abdul Muttalib. وَأَبَى أَنْ يَقُولَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا, and he refused to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. When he died upon this, refusing to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ مَا لَمْ أُنْهَ عَنْكَ, that I will seek forgiveness for you, O Abu Talib, as long as I'm not forbidden from doing so. And then Allah revealed, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِ قُرْبَى, that it isn't befitting for the Prophet and those who have iman that he should seek forgiveness for the people of shirk, even if they are close relatives to them. And then Allah revealed, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ, verily you, O Muhammad, you do not guide whoever you love, rather Allah guides whoever He wills, and He is most knowing of the people of guidance. And the reason why Abu Talib refused to say La ilaha illallah is not because he believed the Prophet is lying. He only refused to say La ilaha illallah because he was embarrassed by what the people were going to say, that the people would say regarding him, look, this Abu Talib, he left our religion, he left the religion of his forefathers. So because of this fear, he wouldn't say La ilaha illallah. And one of the conditions of being a Muslim is, if you're able to pronounce La ilaha illallah, you have to pronounce La ilaha illallah. Islam is not affirmed for a person who says La ilaha illallah in the heart, but doesn't say upon the tongue if he's able to do so. Somebody who cannot speak, for example, this is a different scenario. And Abu Talib has famous verses of poetry where he affirms this. He said, وَدَعُوتَنِي وَعَلِمْتُ أَنَّكَ صَادِقُ, he said, you called me, O Muhammad, and I knew you were truthful. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَقَدْ كُنْتَ أَمِينًا, and you were truthful, and before this you were trustworthy. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدًا, and verily I know that the religion of Muhammad, مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ, it is the best religion upon the with the people. Then he said, لَوْلَ الْمُلَامَةَ وَحِذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ, had it not been for the fear of the blame of the people and the insults of the people, لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ وَأَمِينًا, you'd find me accepting this and believing in it. But this fear and this embarrassment of what the people would say prevented him from al-kufr. And also one of the benefits of this story, as a side point, is the importance of having righteous companions and the danger of having evil friends and companions. Because look, who was it that discouraged him from saying La ilaha illallah? It was his true friends. One was Abu Jahl and one was Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah. And then the author, he spoke about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam grew up and the great manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his trips to Syria and some of the miracles which occurred there, and also his marriage to Khatija radiyallahu anha. And we will leave this until the next lesson. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.